Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished Army General from Bangalore, India, Lieutenant General P.G. Kamath. General Kamath, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
General Kamath is the former commandant of the Army War College in Mau. He is a PVSM, AVSM, YSM, and Sierra Medal. And for those of you who don't know, these are all awarded by the President of India. He served at all frontiers of our country, including Rajasthan, Gujarat, Arunachal Pradesh, Sikkim, and Kashmir. He served in foreign countries like Bhutan, Malaysia, and Brunei. He's been recognized, awarded, and felicitated several times. And after retirement, General Kamath was the special rapporteur of National Human Rights Commission for the South Zone, comprising states of Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, and Telangana. What an amazing journey you've had, sir. Thank you for agreeing to talk to me. So my first question to you, sir, is that from a young cadet to a three-star general, what did you do right in the journey to the top?
Thank you, Ashutosh. I did many wrong things to get it right later.
Okay.
I couldn't have started in the right note right from the beginning.
Absolutely.
So my main thing is that my profession was my passion.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have your profession as your passion, you are passionate about it throughout your life. You like it because that's what you wanted to be and God gave you an opportunity to be.
Mm.
So any person who joins any profession, my first point, what I'd like to say is you should have pride in that profession.
Mm.
If you yourself do not have pride in it, how the hell will others tell? Yes, it's second circuit. So first have pride in your profession.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have pride in your profession, your professionalism to that particular profession grows.
Mm.
You want to be the best. Don't be the best and tire yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Be in the top bracket that you are a force to reckon in that particular profession, because that's what you have selected. That's mm-hmm. what you have opted. Mm-hmm. That is your job. And if you don't do your job well, then it is not dharma. It's your dharma. It's your karma to do your job well.
Mm-hmm.
So a raw, unadulterated, naked professionalism, sans of any frills, is what actually everyone appreciates.
Wow.
A true professional appreciates professionalism.
Mm.
It has to be the bitter truth, what you have to say. Not put sugar-coated lies, which will disappoint further later.
Mm.
Only drawback in what I have told you in my profession, where I understood, where I had obstacles, is I did not have tact.
Mm.
So when you don't have tact and you tell rude professionalism, one of my COs, you know, Asutosh earmarked,
uh-huh.
see, you, whatever you might be, I do not want a rude Napoleon under me. That's the first time I at least thought that he knew that I am trying to be a professional.
But I like the comparison to Napoleon, maybe not his characteristics, but the general part.
Yeah, that whatever the CEO said.
Hmm.
Then is next is your mission for an army officer or any matter.
Hmm.
Organization gives you a task.
Correct.
When you give a task, the organization trusts that you can do the task.
Hmm.
In a nation, there are instruments of national power, political power, economic power, diplomatic power, science and technological power, soft power. When all powers are used and exhausted, last you use your military power.
Correct.
And if the military power fails, the nation fails.
Mm.
That's what it is for me and for the troops under my command or any armed forces as such. Your mission is the most important to you.
Mm.
And as a leader, your dependability, because that mission has been given to you. Once you let down, if you fail, the nation fails.
True.
So the mission has to be so much, so much ingrained in your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, that nothing means if you can't accomplish your mission, you have failed.
Fascinating.
Another thing which I have to say, one of the biggest qualities which no one tells in leadership, Ashutosh, is what I feel the greatest quality. Might be wrong, that's my perception, is selflessness.
Amazing.
Selflessness, to tell that I was selfless would be narcissist. So I won't, but I tried to be a selfless person. That means, see, when you are not bothered about this body and this mind, so you have got courage because you are selfless. It's okay. This body belongs to the nation. So how does it matter if it gets hurt? Someone will look after, someone will look after the family. So courage emanates from selflessness. It springs from selflessness.
Wow.
Honesty and integrity also, because you have nothing, no interest. The government pays you and you are a part of the nation. So how are you worried? So that makes you integrity. Third, you will place mission before you, before yourself. And first is, as we always say in Indian Army, first is mission, then is troops. Third, if at all, is consideration, that is yourself.
Amazing.
So a selfless person always places the mission and troops in front, ahead of you. Then what you call is very messy and goodwill of what you call in very messy situations. Very difficult situations, very foolishly emotional about me, is I have found that goodness of your troops, the good wishes of your troops will push you over that. If you have really loved your troops, if you have loved your mission, because men follow a leader because the leader believes in a cause and not for himself. And believe you me, so many, even now I on WhatsApp, I get calls, I get messages from a teen number of people. I have to remember, I hope I have seen, and then I to connect. So that I have found helps.
Amazing.
Then is one more thing is, for a leader, the biggest thing is clarity of mind. Even if I have to address a small force, I should be clear in my mind what I have to tell. Only then my communication is clear. If your mind is not clear, what are you? You are giving a garbled message, which the people are trying to pick up what the hell you are telling and what the hell they have to do thereafter. So before, you might be addressing a platoon or a division or a corps or whichever. First is keep your mind very clear. Yes, what you have to convey and what is the result of that. Then your communication becomes compelling. You compel them with your communication, ready to hear what they have to say. That is a very clear conviction. And your voice should have that, you know, when you are passionate, you don't have to act on it. Your enthusiasm is exuded without you knowing it. Correct. And enthusiasm is always infectious.
Correct.
When the commander is so enthusiastic and so passionate about it, why not me? You don't have to be a Mark Antony, but the Mark Antony in you will come out if you are convinced about what you are saying.
Well said.
So that what I felt is, you know, what I got right things. And these were the points which I probably tried to emphasize.
What an amazing set of points, sir, for even a young person starting in the corporate world, leave alone a young person getting into the defense services. Thank you. So I'm going to move on, sir. And I'm going to ask you a question that has often been discussed on various television channels. It is said that a Chinese soldier fights for his party. I mean, even today, the Chinese soldier is part of the People's Liberation Army and not the government of China. A Pakistani soldier fights for his religion, and an Indian soldier fights for his motherland. Given the fact that you have served on every border of the country, and led the army, what are your thoughts, sir?
Okay. Now, you are 100% right. The country of China is owned by the CPC, not by the people.
Correct.
So, the nation is owned by the CPC, not by the people.
Right.
The Xi Jinping is the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party and also the China Military Commission. So the entire thing belongs to the party, and senior generals of the PLA are the members of the Chinese Communist Party, Communist Party of China.
Correct.
We know that. So it is one and all. So he fights for the party. I don't know how a party can inspire. That I have to ask some Chinese. How can a party inspire? So they say, my constitution doesn't inspire me. Let me tell you frankly. I won't take a constitution in one hand and charge across a hill with the other. So correct. Constitution is there, which binds me in a particular framework, a legal framework, on which we and our troops and our army has to adhere. That's it. But what is it? What is it? Pakistan. Let's say Pakistan fights a jihad. Fighting the infidels is a part of their religious duty.
True.
I won't go further on that. Yeah. So they fight for jihad, jihad in terrorism, jihad in war, jihad everywhere, killing the infidels. So be it. Whereas let us look at India. Entire Indian cultural, Indian philosophy, India's the so-called the major religion, or what if you want to call it, all springs from two great wars of Ramayana and Mahabharata.
That's true.
And we say non-violence and all, it was nowhere there. Non-violence was only meant for yogis. In Patanjali Yoga, one who has reached a spiritual perfection. It was not as a part, it is not there in your constitution also. It's okay. Not in your preamble of the constitution also. So a martial tradition is there in every Indian, irrespective of his religion. It is there. When 600 odd states were in there, each state was fighting against the other.
Correct.
All had their armies. Go into the south, Cheras, Cholas, Pallavas, Rashtrakutas, Hoysalas, you name Sangamas, Martanda Varma of the south, everyone were fighting wars with each other. And Rajendra Chola went to Southeast Asia and went right up to the South China Sea. Where? It was due to the martial traditions inherent in a soil, inherent in the veins of every Indian, and it is still there. In the Second World War, India gave 2.5 million men to the British Empire. It is not for love of Britain. They didn't go for love of Britain. They went for a job, for a career, for a profession. They wanted money. They wanted resources there to feed their families. Now, the entire after independence, this our military ethos, our ethos, national ethos has got ingrained into the Indian army. That's why I feel that we have the finest army.
Now, coming
to the next point. Why does he fight? Motherland, we say Bharat Mata and all. Bharat Mata, we given a divinity status. But as important from that, what emanates? First is the honor. A soldier, actually an officer, everyone on the front line fights for his honor. Honor that I am the bravest. If I am a coward, will my wife accept me? If I am a coward, if I run away from the battlefield, will the children be happy about me? Will the parents are ready to receive a dead martyr's body with pride? Than the one who has ran away and getting court-martialed. The entire village awaits a hero to come because he has lived up to the honor of the family, honor of the country, honor of the village, honor of the clan, and most important, the honor of the regiment. Regimental pride is the next.
Correct.
My battalion, which has served for 300 years, has not suffered a single defeat so far.
Amazing.
And this particular honor of this regiment, this battalion, lies in we 1,000 people now. How can we let it down? Your officers, your esprit de corps of the unit, the regimental pride, that elan, that flag, everything what we stand for. So that's what the Indian soldier fights for.
What an amazing response, sir. Thank you. So I'm now going to move to, sir, technology. President Trump formed a government or a unit for space. Prime Minister Modi. Modi is talking about space.
Mm.
I would love to get your perspective, sir, is on how space and cyberspace seem to be becoming the next frontier. What is your perspective of future wars?
See, I will tell you. Let's take the context, the present context.
Mm-hmm.
When I'll take it as an Indian point of view rather than say the everything.
Absolutely, sir.
Then nuclear war is almost, it's only a deterrent. Correct. But unfortunately, our neighbor, the trigger is with the Pakistan army. They are also developing tactical nuclear weapons. That is the small sub-kiloton, which no one else is developing. US and all would have it, but I am trying to say from that.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that they will use against the Indian forces in their own territory, so as to not to initiate a bigger one, bigger retaliation. But India has told in no uncertain term, any NBC weapons, nuclear, biological, and chemical, used against India or any of our forces will invite a retaliation the way we choose. So nuclear weapons are meant for deterrence.
Correct.
But to say that is completely ruled out in our context may not be true. Now I come to the next, what you have said, the cyber. The cyber has got such, because of even the conventional war now, Ashutosh, has become a deterrent because it destroys the economy by next 10, 20 years. So they have devised a different cyber war, space war, proxy war, the gray zone warfare, information warfare, psychological warfare.
Correct.
Mankind actually has devised a different systems in order to fight and bend the political will of your adversary. Okay. Now, for example, China has got Pakistan armed to the teeth, almost at par. They are trying to be at parity with India. So that they are fighting their own, and we have got our 4,000 kilometers of border. We can do what we want.
Correct.
Is probably the storyline. Now, what I, when we saw your future war is, just close your eyes and just imagine your financial system has gone, let's see, due to cyber. Your ATMs are not working. People have not got money. It's in the bank. It cannot be dispersed. Your railway traffic has gone interfered. Your railways can't move. Your railway traffic control system is gone. All trains have stopped because you don't know whether it is safe the next 100 meters. Then your air traffic control has been jammed. Your flights cannot operate. People are waiting in the airport, going for it. It doesn't. Fourth, your power grid has become dysfunctional, as it happened in Bombay about 2 years back, and allegedly by the Chinese. Your power grid is not there. Your entire system, your industries, your factories are working intermittently. Higher voltage is coming, lower voltage is going. It has all stopped. Your machineries have stopped and all. Then when you come to the armed forces, your network-centric system is not functional. Then more important, your communication with the other subordinate formation is not functional. And much more important to me is that your fire control systems are not functional. So when we envisage all this and suddenly a swarm of drones come, you do not have any weapon to neutralize. Everything is gone and his forces are advancing. You have got weapons you are not able to fire. Other than small arms fire or something like that. So if you see the condition right from the hinterland, right from the heart of the country, right up till the forward area, the country can, by your TVs and communication, your satellites, due to space war is not functional. Though I am actually, I am telling a situation which is very, 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 could be highly critical, highly severe. But these are the possibilities which we cannot rule out. Because last 50 years, the way from that handset of a telephone to the entire, the world is in your fist, has come in these 30, 40 years. Another 20 years, this can happen.
Correct.
So we have to devise all, we have to think of what is the counter cyber warfare. Cyber warfare is defensive and offensive. First, you have to ensure that your equipment is hardened against the cyber warfare. then you have to relaunch an offensive into the enemy with that. You can imagine what a chaos will be there, right from the common man to the soldier in front, if this is unleashed in its full potential and we are not prepared for it.
Amazing. Very well said, sir. And I'm so happy that you have painted such an amazing picture of so many different scenarios. Thank you, sir. So I'm now going to move to China, sir. You know, and you have served in Arunachal, Sikkim, and Kashmir, you know, three major areas which our army is in. I'd love to get your view on what are the challenges China represents for us.
See, China is a challenge, but by no means insurmountable. Somehow, you know, we have not been able to get our act together. You've had got 4,000 kilometers of frontiers, creeping invasion which has taken place, claiming 90,000 square kilometers in Arunachal. Already occupied in the 50s and later 37,555 square kilometers of Ladakh. Taken on loan or something, 5,200 kilometers of Satsdom Valley by a 1963 agreement from Pakistan. So with all this, which part of the Indian Kashmir has been taken by the Satsdom Valley by China. With all this, and Sham Sharan report of 2012 says he has creeped further in Ladakh 640 square kilometers. And recent incursions of occupation of no man's land and coming to the so-called LAC of 1959, correct. 7th September, where the Chavanla and Pandit Nehru had talked about it, that particular LAC has come. And then the frequent incursions in Barahoti, in the central sector, Arunachal, building villages, 600 border villages on Indo-Tibetan border, all along, so that they are that occupation with the forces and civilian and cultivation, agriculture, surveillance, all mixed into these border villages. Then taking the entire, Nepal has gone to them, Pakistan has gone to them, they have given two submarines to Bangladesh and developing the Chittagong. The Sri Lanka has become a colony of China already. Not able to. Pakistan is being the bay with the Imran Khan is going today or tomorrow with a begging bowl to pay $3 billion more and $11 billion. They are already owe $60 billion CPC is there. That money is not going to Pakistan. China is giving directly to the Chinese contractors who are developing that. Whatever these fellows thought, some cheap labor they must be hiring from there. Otherwise, all middle level and higher level. It's with this, they have posed a challenge to you on all sides with the development of Gwadar port and trying to come to the Maldives. And you have seen and Djibouti in the Red Sea.
Correct.
All this thing is a big challenge. But somehow, you know, Indian foreign policy has not taken its act together. Which is the biggest what you call, it is, they are so apologetic that it really makes my blood boil. Now, let us say, what are our cards which we have? Human rights, Xinjiang, 1 million are put in the, what you call, concentration camp. Not one statement from us blaming them. Tibet, the occupation, invasion, annexation of Tibet and the human rights and religious freedom, not one word from us. Rather, we are trying to undermine Dalai Lama, His Holiness Dalai Lama. Pakistan, China has done everything to Pakistan. 70% of the Chinese arms export go to all the countries which are bordering us.
Correct.
You know, Myanmar, Bangladesh, Pakistan. Sri Lanka, 70% of its entire arms export is against India, and we are not giving one Prithvi missile even to Taiwan. You'll leave BrahMos, it may have a Russian connection. You could have given your own missiles, not one. Indian Ocean is our lake, which we have got present. Our Indian Navy has the capability to dominate and see. So our first thing what we should say against China is, if I have to believe in one China policy, you should believe in one India policy. Otherwise, I feel Taiwan is a separate country.
Correct.
Tell that. Then say second point, any incursions of ours on the border, India has got the right to hit back in the maritime domain. Your entire Malacca Straits is dominated and is at mercy. Its energy is $270 billion of oil flows through Malacca Straits. Their energy lifeline is under our mercy. So we have to say, just make a declaration, any incursions on the land, we'll have the freedom to act on the maritime domain. Just, and you can harass their ship, delay their ship, arrest their ship, sink their ship. We have nothing much in the South China Sea. All we are, it's other than the imports coming from China, it should stop as it is.
Absolutely.
$80 billion was the trade between the two countries prior to COVID. Now it is $125 billion. We are paying China so much in order to fight against us. So we have to have a duty and regulations that any country which is not behaving on the borders, the duty will be increased by 100% or 200%. Stop the Chinese goods. You are arming him. You are paying him to fight against you. What is this country? One left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing.
Well,
but I am very happy to know the present naval budget has been increased by 43% in this yesterday's budget.
Right.
So we have got, what you know, conventional war we will win. But you, I mark my words, I will tell it in this one. Z will not attack physically on a major conflict. Too much high stakes in his hands. And if he loses, he may not get in the next October 2024 plenary, means for next, for life, for next 5 years or 10 years, whatever they have. So he cannot rest.
Correct.
So if you really see, we have got lot of things in our bloody hands, cards in our hands. And our foreign minister goes to the Bloomberg interview and says the relation between India and China will be governed what China, whatever China wants, that will be our relationship. If it doesn't want, you are not a doormat. You have to compel your adversary in pursuit of your national interest by your policy, by your diplomacy, by your political power, by your economic power, by your threat to use the force if required, the political will to use the force. All these are ingredients of a fine foreign policy.
Very well said, sir. So I've got time for two more questions, sir. I would love to get your perspective. I remember my father was in the war in 1962 in Missamari and Tawang. And, you know, he used to tell us stories of they didn't even have sweaters in the winter, or proper sweaters. How are we equipped as an army now as compared to 1962?
Actually, Asutosh, the 1962 is a sad chapter.
Correct.
A fine war machine of the Second World War, which is one of the finest war machines the nation, the out of the world ever had, was made into a decrepit force by a combination of political ineptitude and military assertion. Let's put it that way. From 47 to 62, not one weapon brought.
Wow.
Only thing which defense purchase we did was in 1949, jeeps. Christian Menon was the High Commissioner of Britain, and there was a scam. The very first defense purchase was done for the scam. You go through the details, it will reveal. That is our Christian Menon, who was honored and made into a defense minister.
Correct.
Politically, Nehru, with all his whatever you can say, was very naive. Strategically, he was ignorant. Just tell me one thing. Instead of we becoming a non-aligned nation and non-violence, I don't want to even mention it, non-aligned nations, we were a part of US bloc.
Correct.
Would China dare to attack us in 1962? We wouldn't have lost that humiliation in Arunachal, Nifa that time, and not lost this 37,555 square kilometers.
True. Well said.
And we still say the greatest thing which Nehru conceived was non-alignment. What non-alignment? Even in you went for a premature peace on 1st January 1949 in the 47-48 war and gave one third to the Pakistanis. 78,000 square kilometers is with them. This is all due to your non-alignment. Politically wrong.
Yeah.
Militarily naive. General Timaya was there, unfortunately, for the country had retired. He had told General Thorat to be made into the chief, which was not agreed, and Prannath Thapar was made. So Prannath Thapar had to resign, go home. Krishna Menon was sacked. Defense Secretary, nothing happens. Pulla Reddy sits quietly as if nothing has happened, though the defense is his responsibility.
Correct.
And Nehru, from his pedestal of a great national leader, humiliated, humbled, with his dreams shattered like a chandelier on a marble floor, died in next 1.5 years.
Correct.
So you don't compare. Your father was one of the great heroes who went through those difficult times, where with one Angola shirt and one blanket and one 303 with the two magazines, they went up to Hathungla, where they said temperatures were minus 20, minus 30.
Correct.
But you can't survive there. So that is due to political ineptitude. Then with all his non-alignment, he writes a letter to John F. Kennedy to send the Air Force with their pilots and did not use our own Air Force in the 1962 for combat role.
Correct.
So you should not compare.
I agree.
Hats off to your dad who has gone through this one. Heads off.
Thank you, sir.
But you can't compare the present. We are fully equipped.
Wonderful. No, it's very heartening to see this, sir. Very heartening to see, you know, today's army is so much better equipped. But I think we still have a long way to go.
Yes, we have strong. And also, we have to train our diplomats. Our diplomats do not know the strength of their own forces.
Correct.
And hence, they are not able to use the military prowess in their diplomatic parley, due to which we had to come down that Kailash Ranch, Chushul Heights.
Correct.
So all this because they are not able to articulate, and unfortunately, the CDS or the three service chiefs are not a part of the Cabinet Committee on Security.
Unfortunately,
That is the way. Anyway, let's set the better.
I agree. So I've got one more question for you, and I want to now come to the west part of our country. A lot of amazing events have been unfolding in Afghanistan.
Yes.
I would love to get your perspective, sir, on, you know, India has traditionally been close to Afghanistan. You know, from the time I remember when I was a child, the Kabuliwala who used to be talked about all the time.
Yes.
I'd love to get your views on what is unfolding in Afghanistan and what does it hold for us?
I will tell you. People, to you ask any person in Afghanistan today, if you visit, out of the Pakistanis, out of the US, out of the Russians, out of the Iranians, out of the Chinese, whom do they want the most? They love the Indians.
Correct.
It's an open challenge from me across whoever has heard you. Go and ask. Because what India has done, no other country has done in the recent last 20, 25 years. We have got a clinic which is functional in all five major cities and a Indira Gandhi Hospital in Kabul. We have made a road from Giranj to Dilaram into connecting Iran. We have brought a power into Kabul from Uzbekistan. We have got what we call dams made which provide water to Herat, Friendship Dam, and also to Kabul. And more things are in the offing, and thousands of people are getting treated. Our midday meal scheme had gone and getting children of all schools, whichever are there in this, getting midday meal with such this one. Now, suddenly what has happened is with the Taliban coming, there is no way India should recognize Taliban first, because any country which has come to power by use of force is just reprehensible.
Correct.
They have to come through the election system, wishes of the people, whatever. They should have a ziyarat or whatever. Right. They should all get together and get it. That's a different matter. Till that time, we cannot recognize. But we should not lose the goodwill contact which we have with the people. Just in this month, we gave 500,000 doses of vaccine. We gave 2 tons of medicine in early January. And we want to give 50,000 metric tons of wheat. Pakistan is not allowing it. Put in sports here and there. All these things have to be done in order to see that the people-to-people relationship persists. Now, let me look at strategically. Strategically, Afghanistan is very important to us. Now, you have seen the famous theory of Chanakya, Mandala theory, the inner circle and the outer circle. To rein in the inner circle, you need the outer circle.
Correct.
Now, if you are friendly, you have to be friendly with Iran and Afghanistan to see that the Western front of Pakistan is activated.
Correct.
Otherwise, all this 12th Corps and that whatever, all this will come against you. So, and that is helping inadvertently without having to do. The Taliban have stopped the fencing by the Pakistan army on the Durand line. So Durand line is not a passive one where it's an active one now. Similarly, we have to see that Iran also confronts Pakistan for that whatever territorial dispute in Baluchistan they have.
Right.
So for that reason, strategically, Afghanistan is very, very important to us. And is China is trying to come into this in a big way in order to resources, mines and all resources. But over a period of time, Asutosh, if you see Afghanistan, it is called a roundabout in history.
Correct.
The Persians came and went, the Greeks came and went, the British came and went, the Sikhs came and went, the Russians came and went, the Britishers first and second Afghan war came and went, the Americans came and went, and now it was Chinese to come and go. So whoever comes to Afghanistan, it's a roundabout. It is a fiercely independent nation.
Absolutely.
So they have to find a solution with themselves. Our people-to-people relation should go. And we should ensure by some diplomatic means to see that the Western front of Pakistan is activated by the Afghans.
Very well said. So on that note, I really want to thank you. It's been such an honor speaking to you. I mean, I'm amazed at the incredible depth of your knowledge, not just about, of course, your own area of expertise, but you were able to, you've been speaking to me about so many different subjects and quoting numbers about areas, etc., you know, as if, you know, they're all on your fingertips. Thank you for giving me such an amazing perspective about your journey, about technology, cyberspace, space, about China and about Afghanistan. Thank you so much again, sir, for talking to me. I'm grateful and good luck, sir.
Thank you, Ashutosh. The pleasure and honor is entirely mine.
Thank you.
Jai Hind.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.